venia regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Pane nostrum quotidianum, da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentatione, sed libera nos a malo.
Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. Today we are concentrating on the fifth petition. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Or in another version, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here, the petition is for forgiveness. And the petition has two parts. The request is to forgive. We are requesting, praying to the Father to forgive us. But at the same time, this forgiveness is related to our own forgiveness. We forgive our neighbors. So the first part is a prayer to the Lord to forgive us. And the second is a kind of declaration that we have forgiven or we forgive. There are a lot of problems related to the relation between the two. The forgiveness we receive from God and the forgiveness we give to those who offend us. So is it a causative relationship? Is it because God forgives us that we forgive? Or is it because we forgive that God forgives us? What is the relation between these two forgiveness as we forgive? Again, is it a cause-effect relationship or is it a comparison of measure? As much as we forgive, you also forgive us. In either case, it would seem that the prayer is somehow conditioning and limiting the forgiveness of God. That we have to deal in detail a bit later. Again, the two versions, the sin, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, or is it trespass? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. What does exactly this sin and trespass mean? So this also has to be dealt in a bit detail. Before we get into the intricacies of these terms, one thing we can note, and that is we all stand in need of forgiveness. We stand in need of being forgiven. Jesus is calling attention to a particular situation of humanity in which the entire humanity is involved, you and me alike. All human beings are somehow standing in need of forgiveness. So Jesus is calling attention to the universality of sinfulness. We, before God, are all sinners. No human being is without sin. The universal presence of sin is a tragedy. The tragedy of humanity, that somehow the entire history of humanity is marked by a sinfulness. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, gives expression to this universal sinfulness, quoting from the Psalm. Letter to the Romans, chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. There is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who has understanding. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness. There is not even one. So he is quoting from Psalm, saying the entire humanity has gone astray. there is an all-pervading influence of sin in humanity. The same idea or same reality is expressed in the letter of John. 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and truth is not in us. The truth is not in us if we deny that we are sinners. So this is a kind of inescapable situation that all human beings are born under sin and they commit sin knowingly and unknowingly. This is a situation in which Paul laments in the letter to the Romans in chapter 7, verses 14 to 24. So we see a lament of Paul. He is speaking as a representative of entire humanity. He is speaking from his own experience, but at the same time he is giving utterance to the experience of the entire humanity. Any sincere person would agree with Paul when he says, I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost being. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am. So this is a situation which Paul finds himself in. And this is a situation in which we all human beings find ourselves. Honestly speaking, all human beings are good. They are all created in the image and likeness of God. Nobody wants to be evil. But somehow, knowingly or unknowingly, persons tend to do what is evil. In spite of the repeated resolutions to better oneself, to do good, people keep on doing evil. We do evil to the others. We do evil to ourselves. We hurt, often unknowingly, and sometimes even purposely. How come that human beings become so evil? How come that every day we hear on the TV, in the newspapers, we read, we see scenes of atrocities, violence, terrorism, people destroying the other, brutalizing, violence against women, violence against children, violence against the weak, terrorism and anti-terrorism, blood being shed. How is it that humanity is so perverted? Very often, we stand scandalized and we stand terrified at the presence of such evil. And very often we tend to think that this is the other. The others are doing the evil. And often we point the accusing finger at the others and we consider ourselves totally innocent and totally free of all such sins. But now we come to the prayer and Jesus asked us to pray to the Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now it is time to think about this term sin. We know there are two versions of the same prayer in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. We have seen it several times during these meditations. In the Gospel of Matthew, the word translated into English is debt. Ophelemata is the Greek word. meaning that you owe something to somebody. The same word is being repeated. So if you translate the prayer in the Matthean version, literally, it would mean, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In the Gospel of Luke has changed this word once. He has changed the first, forgive us our debts, into forgive us our sins. And in the second term, he has left us as debts. Debt, as in any common usage, comes from a kind of civil situation. It's a money owed to somebody. You owe something to somebody. If you borrow from someone and if you do not pay back, you are indebted. So you are indebted to a person until you pay back your debts. So this is the word Matthew is using, or rather, it is the word Jesus has used in the prayer. Forgive us our debts. So sin has two aspects. One is being owing to something to somebody. Luke, because he found this term rather curious and difficult for Gentile people to understand, changed this into sin. The first clause he changed into forgive us our sins. So in the God-man relationship, he brings in the term sin. And in the man-to-man human relationship, he leaves the term unchanged, our debts. But in fact, the two aspects of sin is beautifully brought out by these two words. The first aspect is that of debt, and the second is transgression, offense, sin. We know the Ten Commandments are formulated sometimes positively, sometimes negatively. There are some positive commandments. I, the Lord, am your God. I, the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, am your God. So, worshipping God, keep the Sabbath, or obey, honor your parents. These are positive formulations. This reminds us that we owe our lives. We owe everything to God. Everything we have has been received. We are great debtors. In the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 7, Paul reminds the Corinthians, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? What do we have that we have not received? Nothing, Paul would say. The question, a rhetorical question Paul is asking to the Corinthians, is being asked also to us. What do we have that we have not received? Our life is not earned by ourselves, it is a gift. The body, the spirit, the capacity, the intellect, the intelligence we have, all the situations, all the conveniences, all we have received. As we are born into families. Parents were there to care for us. There had been friends all through. People who helped us, people who helped to grow, people who fed us, people who accepted into their company. Everything we have, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, everything has been given to us, and we owe all this to others. So now, in this situation, we have some positive obligations to fulfill. Our obligations towards God, our obligation towards our neighbor, our obligations and duties towards the nature and to ourselves. These are all positive values. We have to accept God as the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your being and all your self, energy. So this commandment of loving wholeheartedly, accepting God as the Lord for, and keeping the Sabbath, worshipping Him, acknowledging Him, glorifying Him through our lives. This is a positive duty every human being has towards God. This is acknowledging that whatever I have is a gift from God. Duty towards God. That is being formulated in the first three commandments of the great Decalogue. Then we have our duty towards our neighbors all around us. The duty of the children towards the parents. Honor your father and your mother. The duty of the parents towards the children to love. The duty towards all our neighbors, human beings. We are interrelated. No one leaves us an island. We have our duty towards others. And this duty can be forgotten. And there you have the debt. Jesus, when speaking about sin, considers this kind of rejection, this kind of neglect of love as the major sin. For example, in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus tells us how the rich man was feasting sumptuously every day. He did not offend anybody. He did not do any harm to anybody. Did not positively go out to hurt anybody. Only problem was, there was a poor man starving at his door. And this rich man did not notice or did not care for that starving Lazarus. And he died of starvation. So this is a great debt. It has become a great sin on the part of the rich man. Now, Abraham, in response to the prayer of the rich man, tells him this. Luke 16, verse 25. Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime, you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." You are in agony because you did not care when you could for the poor man starving at your door. The same story, the same idea is repeated in another story, the story of the Good Samaritan. We know the story well. A man on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho fell in the hands of the thieves, and he was beaten and he was left half dead. And then Jesus tells us in Luke 10 verses 31-32. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Passing by on the other side, that is sin. That is sin in Jesus' view. That is the debt. The Levite as well as the priest were indebted to this man dying on the road, but they did not care. So if you do not care for the poor man dying, starving, bleeding to death, then you will have to count with God's wrath. In the Gospel of Matthew, the parable of the Last Judgment, Jesus makes it very clear. In chapter 25, verse 34, we read, "Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food.'" I was hungry, you gave me food. That is caring. That is paying the debt. That is how we respond to our obligations. How we pay back our debts to others. On the other hand, in verse 41 and 42, "Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food.'" I was hungry, you gave me no food. That becomes sin. That is the debt. And that brings in the punishment. Depart from me into the hell. So Jesus is telling that sin has these two aspects. The first aspect is that of indebtedness. So sin is sins of omission, omitting your duty, omitting to care for. You don't care for those in need. And there you become a sinner. The same thing can happen. The duty towards the nature, the duty towards ourselves. Whenever we refuse to comply with our duty, positive duty, that becomes a sin of omission. Now, we conclude this meditation with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling into existence for calling us into life, for providing us with everything we need. You have given us life, you have given us time, you have given us friends, people who accept us. You have opened the whole world before us to sustain us, to make us grow, to make us enjoy and happy. Father, we often forgot that all this was gift. We behaved ourselves as if it was our right and as if we were the only persons on this world. We did not care for our neighbors. We did not care for your love and for your glory. Forgive us our sins. Amen.